at the sound of your voice. You said, let there be light over land and sea and sky. Let there be sunrise to wake their sleeping eyes. And it was good.
That was Jesse Crow with his newly released In the Beginning. It's found everywhere that you guys love to go and get your music. So excited for the future here with that song and more. If you followed along with Jesse's story, you know that he and his band, Jesse Crow and the Unrest, have a Kickstarter campaign going on. If you want to reach out, give Jesse a follow on Instagram or Facebook, you'll have all the details there, and we'll close out this podcast episode with a little bit more of In the Beginning, one of my favorite songs that Jesse has written, and just love the message and the heart behind that song. Well, this is Keith Akins, Church at Southside podcast, and a little bit of a different flavor here. So typically what our podcast is just a replay of our Sunday service. Enjoy doing that. We are going to continue that, get tons of feedback from that, from others that either are part of another fellowship or maybe didn't get to make it out that week, are able to kind of catch up and go along. Currently in a Matthew series that we've really enjoyed. But super excited about the future moving forward with the podcast. And just wanted to share a little bit about that before we get into just a topic I felt led for episode number one in this new fashion to be. But the new setup is going to be we're still going to have the weekly service. But as time moves on, we're going to have podcasts just like what you're going to hear today. This one is just me today. I'm just here solo recording this. But in the future, we've got things set up for interviews, some of those in person, some on the phone from people that are greater distances away that we follow along with and partner with and just kind of get updates from them or just perspectives or thoughts or things like that. Or again, it may be somebody solo like I am now. Myself, Jesse, that you just heard sing, others that are friends of our ministry and just have a message that we want to get out. And so that's what we're looking forward to. I hope you guys will continue to follow along, pass this on to others that you feel like it'll be a help to, but just excited to see where that goes. So more from Jesse in just a little bit on In the Beginning. But again, go and give those guys a follow. Would love to see that goal met. Awesome recording that's going to happen. Just excited to hear about what's going to come. So today I wanted to just talk and kind of tell you what's on my heart, the reason for jumping on here and recording a podcast. I love getting to teach at the church at Southside. Our gathering is a special place. If you followed along any bit of time, you know our story, you know the journey that we are on. Don't get everything right, won't get everything right, but man, it is a beautiful thing to see in person. And as I've taught the last few weeks, I've mentioned something that's been on my heart a few times. I love the story of Jesus and his interaction with Judas. And as I shared just a passing thought a few weeks ago, I bet I had four people from out there at our gathering come and ask me more questions about it. And so as I made that statement, in fact, I think it was Jesse and I that talked, we said, man, what a platform we have of, you know, a church body that, yeah, it looks a little different, but people kind of spread out in different parts of the city. But, you know, all with the ability of technology are able to have these means to listen in to things like we're doing today. And thought, man, what a wonderful outlet it would be to just, when we get more questions like that, to expand on something. You could see in the very near future where we even have write-in questions, people out there or people that follow along social media, whatever that they'd like to hear discussed or questions on, thoughts on. And so that's kind of the vein of where we're at today. And I do want to take you to the scripture. I'm not going to read this entire passage. It's a long passage, but I want to give you the reference just so you can go and maybe look, and God continues to speak beyond just our short time together today. And so it's John chapter 13, verse 1 all the way to verse 34. Again, won't cover all of that today, but a few verses. But this entire section is this beautiful interaction between Jesus and his disciples, where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. He institutes the Lord's Supper. By this point, obviously, Jesus knows the cross is nearing very fast. And here we are sitting very close to Easter. And so we know all the things that go around that Holy Week and things leading up to Easter. And this is one of the most beautiful to me. It's also one of the most just confusing, if you will. And the reason why is because just putting human logic in, we know that Jesus is, yes, God, and we know that he, but he's also man. He is God in the flesh. And I want you to put yourself in that spot. We've all probably that are listening to this podcast have been wronged by somebody, been hurt by somebody, betrayed by somebody, and Jesus knew full well the entire time that Judas was going to be the betrayer. So we know that. I want you to think about that as we talk a little bit further on today. And I want to start with this. It's right before Passover, John chapter 13 and verse 4. We get the beautiful picture of this. It says that he, meaning Jesus, he laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Now, already starting out, Jesus is much different than the Messiah that the people of Israel hoped for. They hoped for a military king, someone with might that would come in and take over from the Roman rule of the day and set the God's chosen people back in their rightful place. And Jesus didn't come with a sword and a shield, though, like people were wanting. He, we see here, arms himself with a basin and a towel. And if you look at Jesus's ministry, I mean, that's what he did the entire time, of loving the unlovable, touching the untouchable. Think of prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors and lepers and all of these people that Jesus sure seemed to spend a lot of time ministering to. And so we see this just beautiful setting here of Jesus gathered around with his disciples. Again, he knows that his time on earth is drawing to a close. And he takes the time to just paint this beautiful picture of servanthood, where he kneels down, the creator of the universe, kneels down to sinful men. He takes off his outer garment, takes a towel, ties it around his waist, and washes the feet of the disciples. That's beautiful. If the story ends right there, it's amazingly beautiful. It's a beautiful picture of servanthood, of humbleness, of a willingness to serve no matter. I mean, this is the creator of the world. Nothing was created without him being involved. And he humbles himself to the point of kneeling down to wash feet. What's always intrigued me about this story is, though, as Jesus washes feet, if you just read the rest of the story, you have the interaction with Simon Peter, where he says, "You won't wash my feet." And love the interaction there where he says, "Peter, if you don't let me do this, you have no part of me." Then Peter, like he often does, "Well, then wash all my body," right? Like, go all in. That's one of the things that we love about Peter. But as he does this, he washes the feet and he even asks a question. "Do you understand what I've done for me? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. If I then, Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." More on that in a minute. But you see the timeline, and we know the rest of the story, right? We know that Judas is going to be the one to betray. But as you continue on, you get to verse 21. It says, after saying these things, more teaching on the washing of feet and the things Jesus is teaching his disciples in these final moments that he has with them. It says, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Now let's stop right there. This is what I shared a few weeks ago that people came up and asked questions about. I even had one dear brother said, man, I wish you could have expounded on that a little more. And I just want you to know that's one of my heart reasons of my heart for wanting to do this today, is to do just that, to expand on it as I was asked, and pray that God uses it first off in my life and then in any that may listen today. And so Jesus is there. He's saying, one of you will betray me. And if you just look at the timeline of this, he's already washed feet. And so Jesus has gone down the line of the 12 and he's armed himself with a basin and a towel, and he washes the disciples' feet. And as he does this, he gets to a point where he says, one of you will betray me. And so the timeline itself says this, that Jesus washed Judas' feet. Now, maybe you caught on to that a long time before I did. It's been a few years ago that just really dawned on me. After reading the story so many times, I get to a place and I read it and I said, wow, Jesus washed the betrayer's feet. And I put myself in that spot, and I know Jesus. Jesus lives inside of me. Thank God for grace and compassion and mercy. It's nothing of my own doing. And I pray that you have that same story. But to put myself in that spot and be in a room of trusted followers and friends and those that had walked closely with me, and one has betrayed me. One has turned me over to the point of where people were going to come and arrest me. The last thing on my mind would be to serve them, to wash their feet. In fact, I think I joked the Sunday that I talked about this a few weeks ago, and I said, if it was me, I would have all the disciples lined up in a row, and Judas would have for sure been there, but he would have been number 12. And as I watched the rest of the disciples' feet, and maybe even threw a few little things out there of, you know, this is what you ought to do to others, I probably would have been tempted to get to the end with the dirty foot water and say, all right, now Judas, it's your turn. But the water would not have went on his feet, but probably across his head. Because that's what we do, right? An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But that's not what our Jesus did. No, he knelt down, and I believe he knelt down with a loving tenderness and compassion in his eyes, and probably as he's washing Judas' feet, thinking, oh, my son, there is a better way. There's a better way. And he washes the disciples' feet, and then there's a point where he says, now go and do this thing that you've got to do. And so we know that Judas was there. He was present for the washing of feet. And we know that that moment just had to be such an amazing encounter between Jesus and his most trusted followers. But here's another beautiful thing. So as Jesus does this, and as he washes Judas' feet, he's at a place where he looks at the other disciples and he says, one of you is going to betray me. And as it says, the disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. This tells even more of the story. You see, Judas had walked with Jesus for a long time. It was a relationship. He had total access to the creator of God, creator of all things, the creator God. And as he walks with Jesus, walks with the other disciples, what this tells me is that when Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me, he loved Judas so well, and just like the others, with no differentiation. And he says, one of you is going to betray me, so much so that the disciples say, who could it be? Who is it? Is it me? There's even the idea of them questioning, is it themselves? And what this shows us is that Jesus loved Judas so similar to the rest of the disciples that they couldn't even tell, hey, it's Judas. Again, going back to human logic, if this was a situation I was in and I knew that someone in my inner circle was going to betray me, there would have been clues along the way. In other words, if I was to go back to this point of the story and just say, man, one of you guys is going to betray me. If I'm in this setting, I promise you there would have been people in that room that would have been able to say, I can tell you who it is. It's Judas. Have you seen how Keith gives him the side eye? Have you seen like how Judas, maybe when we pass out food, Judas always gets a little less or something like that? But that wasn't the case with Jesus. He loved Judas so well and so compassionately, so full of mercy and tenderness and all the things that we love of Jesus, that when he says, one of you is going to betray me, the other's disciples say, who could it be? They had no clue. They had no inkling of any kind of thing that it was Judas, because Jesus loved him the same. Wow. I mean, how is that the case, this amazing love that Jesus has, this forgiveness, this mercy? My friend Jared King, we were talking about this passage the other day, and just such a beautiful thing. I'd not thought about this, and this is the beauty of talking out a passage with other believers and other friends, because God speaks and gives other insights and everything, but there's this beautiful part of the verse that says, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, we know that's John, the beloved disciple, says, was reclining at the table at Jesus' side. So he's sitting right next to him. And I'd never really thought about this part of the scripture. It says, but Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. And it says, so the disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? So Peter recognizes that, yes, this is the beloved disciple. John is a very close, and just as Peter was with Jesus. But John is so close that Jared said it in this way, that you could almost like lean in and hear the heartbeat of Creator God. Can you imagine the closeness of being so close to Jesus that you can literally hear his heartbeat? You can feel the heartbeat of God. And Peter says, well, you're close enough to him. Maybe if you ask, he'll tell who it is. So again, no inkling, no clue of who it was, because God in the flesh, Jesus, had loved Judas so well that there was no difference at all. Now, I take that to us and say, well, if we in the flesh, there's no way that we can show that kind of love. But what if we have the Spirit of God living us, the Spirit of Christ living in us? Can we muster up enough humility and service about ourselves to have this kind of love to the people who maybe have wronged us or will wrong us in the future? It's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful thought. And I even think to this point, it's a little extra biblical imagination, if you will. And so this isn't scripture, it's just a thought, but I think it's pretty spot on to think that the disciples had moments like this, because I've had moments like this and you have too. Think when you've lost somebody that's close to you, when someone has passed, what's one of the things that people do is they gather around and they tell remember when stories. You remember when we went fishing together? You remember when this Christmas something happened? Or you just tell those stories, right? It's that draw to feel close to that person that you've lost. Well, Jesus, we know, is heading towards a cross and a borrowed tomb. But the disciples don't understand all that's going to take place. And as they watch all the horrific events unfold, the trial, the beating, the accusations, the crucifixion of Jesus, he's gone. This person that they fully believed and they were right in, but at this time probably had to have doubts that he was the Messiah, right? He's gone. They've seen him die. They've seen him taken off a cross and placed in a tomb. But as they see this and as they recount things, I can just imagine if you fast forward even to the point of maybe say, Jesus has come back, appeared to the disciples, walked with them, Now he's at this moment where he's about to give the Great Commission. He ascends and he's seated at the right hand of the Father on our behalf. I can just imagine that when Jesus ascends and the disciples later are sitting around and just having those remember when moments. You remember when? Do you remember when that lady was about to be stoned for adultery and Jesus drew on the ground? What was it that he was drawing? Do you remember him standing up at the crowd and saying, "You without sin, cast the first stone"? Do you remember when Jesus was teaching on the Sermon on the Mount and, man, that amazing message, and he taught with such authority that we've never heard before. And then you guys remember when we went down the hill, there was a leper waiting on him and saying, "Jesus, if you will, I know you can make me well." And Jesus just said, "I will." And he touched him and he healed him. Do you remember the night the storm came and we were out in the boat and Jesus woke us up, or we woke Jesus up, and he was like, "You have little faith. Like, why are you so worried? I've got this." And on it would have went, but I have to think this would have been one of the stories. It's like, guys, do you remember when he washed our feet? Do you remember when he talked about the Lord's Supper, that if we take this bread and we break it and we just remember that it's the body that was broken, and when we took the cup that it was the blood that was shed? And we didn't understand then, but we get what he's talking about now, right? And that often as we do that, we remember him. But that's why we're going to do this. It's a new institution for us. And I can imagine saying, do you remember when he took off his outer garment and he put a towel down and he knelt down and he washed your feet? And then I could just imagine one of the other disciples saying, "But do you remember he washed Judas' feet?" And you say, "Well, why is that important? Well, what was it he said?" Oh yeah, there's more to the story. You see, the close of this passage that we are talking about today in John chapter 13, Jesus does all this and then he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I've loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So as they have that moment where they're reflecting back and those remember whens, the idea of Jesus washing Judas' feet and them replaying and having those beautiful memories, they get to a place and one of them surely had to say, "What was it he said? Love one another as I have loved you." So that means the betrayer, that means the people that persecute us, that means the ones that don't agree with us, the ones that despise us, that we still go with this new command that Jesus has given us, to love them in such a way that people, when they see it, say, "Oh yeah, that guy, he's a follower of Christ. That lady, she's a follower of Jesus Christ." Because if you continue on in that verse, that is the barometer that Jesus gives a lost world. If you want to know who are my disciples, this is what Jesus says. He doesn't say the ones that have the most scripture memorized, the ones that attend church the most, the ones that give the most money, the ones that pray the sweetest prayers. He says, "No, by this you will know that they are my disciples, as if they have love for one another." This calling that Jesus has given us is not just to pray some prayer and just have our salvation insurance and that's it. He calls us to a place where we really do put him and others first, and we love one another in the same kind of way that he has loved us. That's what he says. "Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another." And that doesn't mean the people that we just get along with, look like us, act like us, haven't done anything wrong to us. The Spirit of God, if it lives inside us, if he lives inside of us through Jesus Christ, a relationship that we have through him, then it is no longer us that live, but Christ that lives through us. So by his strength, we can live in such a way that is so radically different than what the world promotes of looking out for yourself, taking care of number one, just doing all those things. No, this is a love that Jesus has called us to, that compels us to love one another as he has loved us. It means washing the feet of those who've betrayed us. Now, not in a literal sense, but in ways that we can serve and love and not keep a record of wrongs. I mean, just to love people the way that Jesus loves us. And then he gives the lost world that barometer. This is how you will know who my disciples are, is by how they love one another. So I ask you this question today: how are you loving? Not how are you living, how are you loving? That's what Jesus has called us to. That's the barometer he's given to the lost world. And so how are you loving others? Those that have treated you well, it's kind of easy, right? But what about those that have wronged you? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, how you love one another. I pray that this time together has been fruitful for you. I pray that God continues to speak after you hit stop here. Think about it later. Pass this on to others. Let them be a part of it. Look forward to more of these times coming when it's other folks in here with me, times that I'm solo, others are solo. Man, we just pray that this is used for the glory of God as just a way to disciple, encourage, equip one another. That's what God has called us to be about. So I'm going to close us out with a little bit more of Jesse Crow's In the Beginning. Be sure and go and check out Jesse Crow and the Unrest on Instagram. It'll tell you everything you need to know about the Kickstarter campaign, this new song In the Beginning, the new album that's going to be recorded. You guys can be a part of that. Such a worthwhile cause. And so love this guy. Love his songwriting ability, his storytelling. He is a worship leader through and through. Amazing ability to do that, and count him as a dear friend and brother. So enjoy this In the Beginning to play us out today.
Let there be a hill and a cross to make all things right. Let there be a father's love to lead them back. They were daughters and sons. And it was good.